Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob, it would appear that Crowley's having more blowouts than the 07 Patriots. Did he mention that to you on his way out? He's flying to Ireland, as are you today. He's a nervous flyer. How do you do on a plane, especially one that's crossing an ocean?
Well, I would be nervous if I had blowouts going, because that's a difficult time. That's a long trip over there, and so you may have to go to the bathroom a few times.
Yeah. Anything to curb the blowout factor.
Yeah, I don't I don't mind flying. I can't sleep. That's my problem. And I'm not going to be able to sleep. So this is why you leave. Today, you get there tomorrow morning, and there's no sleep.
Right.
And you start a whole day fresh. So
you and Crowley also discovered that you're staying in the same hotel. Does that mean you two will be kibitzing? Will you be out on the town? I know you're both bringing your wives.
I've heard he's legendary at that. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing it in action, seeing what happens.
He's going to walk off the plane drunk, Bob, because he's scared to begin with. He may walk onto the plane drunk.
I may do that too. Not drunk, but have a little bit. You got to calm yourself down on those things and try to fall asleep. I don't know. Do you have any answers for that? Do you take a, you know?
I just freak out.
And melatonin, then anything like that?
No, I go into deep breathing on the plane. And then, you know, the worst part is taking off and landing and the flight. They're all sort of equal.
Yeah. Well, Rich Walsh and I are going to go over there and we're going to be doing some stuff. I'm sure Adam will do the same thing with different pubs and different things that have to show. So in addition to the game, because the team doesn't arrive there until Friday.
Mackey's already over there. You can break bread with him.
Yeah, he's been walking all over the place.
Limits, how are you today?
I'm doing wonderful, guys.
Are you going to Ireland?
No, I wish I was, though.
What are you doing Saturday?
Maybe I could fit in Bob's seat.
I know what he's doing Saturday.
He's going to Pitt and Louisville, and he's going to want those Panthers to win that ACC action.
Big noon game. Big noon. No, I will be at the Whiteout.
Yep.
I'm going to leave at like 5 a.m. on Saturday.
Why not just sleep over the night before limits with friends?
That's always a better move.
Yeah.
Well, I want to, but we're doing KDK High School Football Friday.
You and Donnie?
Yeah, Upper St. Clair Peters Township. Really good matchup in the South Hills. So, I mean, if I drove up, I'd get there at like
1:30. It doesn't matter. You're going to be ramped up anyway. You're going to go home and just not sleep, so you may as well drive. That's my advice on that kind of situation.
I agree.
If you're working late, chances are you're on adrenaline
just go,
anyway.
Yeah.
You may as well just drive.
I did that last year.
Do it then, and then you can wake up at 7. You can still get 6 hours
of
sleep.
And then you're not going to feel terrible when you got to get up at 5 in the morning. And you're
the problem's finding a hotel, Bob. Where are you going to find a hotel? Does Limits have for you friends in State College?
Yeah, my sister's up there.
Oh,
she goes to school there.
Bob's 100% right then.
That's where I'm staying Saturday night, too.
I'd stay there Friday
night. I understand,
but
you should do... So you're going to wake up then Sunday and watch a Steeler game from your
sister's... Wake up Sunday, watch a Steeler game there, yeah.
Okay.
All right. We'll accept that. That's acceptable.
I'm excited. I'm very excited.
We're trying to use the wisdom we've gained in doing this kind of stuff to make your life a little better.
Last year, that's what I did. I drove up and I got there at like 1:30.
And what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with
that? It was fine. I might actually do that again.
Yeah, you should.
I'm thinking about it now. You're starting to convince me, Bob.
We've come full circle, just like Marc-Andre Fleury. Bob?
How about that? This weekend is going to be loaded with things.
Oh, yeah, that's Saturday,
that
too.
That's Saturday.
Is that game sold out? I keep asking people. Is it sold out?
If it is, it'll be close.
Tickets are going for $200. It's sold out or getting there?
Yeah, oh yeah.
How about for a preseason?
Can you look up the secondary market for that Limits as we're speaking?
Some tickets were going for over $1,000.
What?
Yeah, for a preseason game. And that's a testament to Marc-Andre Fleury. That really is. It's just how many other people can do that? You know, Sid would do that. All the elite players would do that. He is an elite player, but he's left several years ago. And here he comes back, and he's maybe more popular now than ever.
Well, Bob, that should be a six-pack item. We might even start out with that, but I wanted to let you know that I had a crown put on my tooth yesterday, and I was thinking going into it that it was just like a little filling that would take 2 seconds. And then right before I left, because I went to my appointment right after the show.
You didn't golf?
Limits asked me if they're putting me to sleep. He said, this is going to be a lot of pain, So then I start to freak out, and then I was going to call in sick for the appointment, except that my bottom left tooth in the back is crumbling. It's crumbling like the Cleveland Browns.
Or like the Cleveland Guard, or like the Detroit Tigers.
Crumbling like the Detroit Tigers in September. So, Bob, they basically did a rebuilding job on the thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like Ben Cherington.
I hope it went better than that. And
did you feel any pain?
Discomfort. Well, no, they gave shots but it was a bigger deal than I thought. Yeah. Dr. Kevin out in Fox Chapel, Kevin Polowitz, does an unbelievable job. So I felt very confident and safe with him. Great guy and longtime friend of the station. But then there's a little crevice in my bottom teeth in the back from when I got kicked in the teeth a long time ago in front of a bar called the Pink Flamingo in Buffalo.
You're still having lingering effects from something that happened at the Pink Flamingo? Pink Flamingo?
Yes. Yes. In fact, this tooth, my front tooth, is bonded. It's a long story, Bob.
I've had bondage.
Yeah, I was laughing at people in the bar, and then they started to beat up my friend Marshall Reinhardt, and instead of helping him, I ran. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I remembered is an army boot kicking me in the face and smashed my teeth. So to make a long story longer, the back of one of my bottom teeth is only half a tooth. And that started to become problematic. And they put a filling on it yesterday. Mm-hmm. And now there's a different dynamic sort of every time I close my mouth. You know what I mean? My tongue goes to a different place.
Yeah, it takes time.
Something's different. And I have to get used to that. That is more of a big deal than the crown in the back.
So they took care of it in one visit?
Yes,
normally
they did.
That's a two-visit process.
It was a double header.
Okay, because they have to mold your thing, and then you come back and they give you a temporary one, then a permanent one.
Great day to play two, Bob. They did two. Shall we go to a six-pack?
I think it's early. It's Ron Cook time of day, but yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Limits. Okay, we already started with Marc-Andre Fleury. So I'm going to start you with this one. I talked to the old 2-9er, the other guy that wore 2-9, for a lot of years and did so famously, especially really in his later years when he became the old 2-9er, Phil Bork. And man, he was telling me all kinds of things about Fleury, you know, behind the scenes, how he would help people out financially very quietly and all the things we know about Fleury and then some. And it was just something. And I wrote a piece this morning for the Post Gazette about this, but the gist of my piece was, like Fleury says, this will be a full circle moment. I would argue that it won't truly be full circle unless the Penguins retire that number 29. Bob, do you think they should?
Yes. Again, because of Stanley Cups. But then again, you know, Bork 29, he had an impact. You could maybe do a double 29, you know, half and half. Like when Fleury Murray were here, they had a half and half Fleury Murray.
A timeshare.
A timeshare with that. But yes, I agree with that. I think he's meant a lot to the franchise, and I think that will happen one day, just as it did with Jagr. Yesterday, the Penguins relaunched their Hall of Fame. They had four great members, and they're going to continue to add to it. I mean, it's just a matter of time when they decide to do it.
Do you think so, or do you think that they think because they've been very judicious so far that it's only reserved? See, I put Fleury in this category. Some may not. It's only reserved for true franchise icons. You know, Mario, Jagr, Sid, Crosby. Gino, maybe some people mm-hmm. think. I think Michel Briere was a special case, mm-hmm. tragically died young, and I think he was maybe headed on that path. That was sort of a different kind of case. I think some people might make the argument that the only two jerseys to be retired from this era, some may say just Sid. Sid and Gino.
I would disagree with that. Or Sid and Gino, yes.
Who do you say?
I'd put Fleury in there. What he's meant to the franchise, just you talk about his status here in Pittsburgh, what it means, the fact that they're going to sell out a preseason game when tickets are going for a lot of money.
How much are they going for, Limits?
Yeah, I looked on one of the secondary markets. 89 is the cheapest ticket to get in, but if you want to be down by one of the goals, I see tickets for $765.
Wow. For a preseason game.
In which he's
going to play probably half of the game, I think.
And that's just the half of it. Really, truly, more importantly, this guy is the all-time franchise leader in shutouts, in goals against average, in wins.
All of them.
By a million miles.
And this is over a guy who, Tom Barrasso, is now in their Hall of Fame.
Right.
You know, so.
And he delivered, I think, two Stanley Cups. Mm. One of them, he basically gave the Penguins their Mazeroski moment, a walk-off save in Game 7 against the mighty Red Wings and a Hall of Famer in Nicklas Lidström, the most dramatic save in NHL history. And then I think in Sully's second cup run, Marc-Andre Fleury was the single most important player. Because
that Washington series.
Washington won the President's Trophy that year. 118 points. They outshot the Penguins in every game of that series, including 38-18 in a game that the Penguins won.
Yeah.
Fleury was the star. It was his play combined with the adoration that I think he should be a cinch to have his jersey retired. How about Letang?
Letang has been a tremendous player, but I mean, you can't put them all in. He would be one that's very close to me, but I would see how they feel about it. My gut would tell me no.
That would be a tough one, though, to put in.
As much respect as I have for Chris Letang, he's been a tremendous player.
I'm saying it would be a tough one to leave him out because the big four of this era are Sid, Gino, Letang, and Fleury. So I think if you put in Fleury, you got to put in Letang. That would be a tough look to put in three.
That would be. But again, you know, Chris Kunitz had a big role in some of those things. In fact, maybe the most important goal in that run to another Stanley Cup. It just depends on how they look at it. I look at Fleury, I guess, differently than a lot of guys in that what he was able to do, that save, you talk about Lidstrom, how about the save on Ovechkin? The glove save.
Glove save and then the knob of the stick game 7, right. 8 years later.
And those plays, you know, it's like a Frank Pietrangelo moment. Those are things you remember for the rest of your life. Most young people out there wouldn't know who he is.
Right.
But he made one of those saves that catapulted them to where they had to go. So, you know, those are always tough decisions. I'm 50-50 on Chris, but I would definitely do Marc-Andre Fleury.
Next. It's going to be quite a night. Well, there's something big happening tonight with the Pirates. And that is Paul Skeens on the mound against Hunter Green in what should be one of the best pitching matchups, God bless me, of the year. The Pirates dealt the Reds a big blow last night, but the story tonight is Skeens, Bob. And here are the questions. Are you ready for this?
Let's go.
He's 10-10.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to become, I believe he would be the first starting pitcher to ever win the Cy Young with a losing record. Am I right about that?
That's correct.
Yes.
I think there was a reliever way back when who did it. So is he going to finish with a winning record, a losing record, or will he get a no decision? And then to me, just as big, if not bigger, is can he put that ERA under 2? I think it's at 2.03 and change.
2.03, yeah.
Do they not round up in baseball, Bob? Because by my calculations, it's 203.6, which should be 2.04, right? If it's 2.03...
Your math is better than mine.
Do they not carry up? I don't know if they do or not, but it could become pertinent tonight.
What would it take for him to lower it to 1.99?
Thank you for asking.
7 innings of shutout baseball?
4 innings of shutout baseball would do, Bob.
How about if he goes 4 innings and he gets to that 1.99 and they take him out?
Okay, let's get right to that question. Because 4 innings of, just let me say this, 4 innings of shutout would do it, obviously 5 or 6. If he gives up 1 run, by my calculations, please don't quote me on this out there, although I did have a calculator. He could do it with 1 run in 8 innings. That's possible too. But you hit on the question. If he throws 4 innings of shutout ball and clinches a 1.99 ERA, do you take him out of the game?
I would say yes.
So would I.
He deserves it after everything he's gone through and the fact that his wins, and he wouldn't get a win or a loss in that case. But 10-10, I don't even look at that. I look at all the other stuff. 1.99 would be historic for a team that's a last place team. You'd have to go back a long way. And I was trying to find this yesterday and I could not find an example. And maybe I'm just not completing the task of doing it. But I don't think anyone has had a 1.99 ERA with as many innings as he's pitched for a last place team.
Well, I was reading a story on MLB.com today. Limits, maybe you can do the math. It might even be 3 2/3 innings.
Well, I would leave him out.
To finish the inning. You know who would be really, really angry if Skeens was pitching a shutout after 4 innings?
The New York Mets.
Andrew Filippone and his fellow, I don't know, is he still a Mets fan? And his fellow New York Mets fans.
Oh, they would be.
And that's another part of this question. And I get it, but too bad.
Too bad. I mean, the Mets... created their situation by falling apart. The Pirates are not there to help them out. They're trying to do what's best for their player, and they're putting guys in like Hunter Barco last night got in. And some would say, well, you're playing a rookie in a game that's meaningful to the Reds. You're not there to satisfy Terry Francona or the Reds. You're trying to do what's good for your business. And if that means Paul Skeens goes 4 shutout and you take him out, so be it. Mets go win. You now control your own destiny. Win out. That's what I would say.
Limits, Paul Skeens, pitches, whatever the threshold is tonight. And I'm a little confused between whether it, well, let's just say four, because I know with four shutout innings, he would get it to 199. Would you take him out?
I would stretch it to five just to see if you could be able to earn him the victory, too.
Oh, that's a good point. That doesn't even matter.
But then he could go 11 and 10 instead of 10 and 10.
It doesn't matter.
What if they're not ahead?
This is a
limits?
Cy Young conversation and 1.99. If you take him out there and he gives up a run of the fifth, it doesn't go to 1.99.
I think I take him out.
What if they're not ahead, so are we factoring in maybe he gave up an unearned run and they're losing like 1-0 going into the fifth inning and you take him out after four because he hasn't given up an earned run?
Now you're hopelessly complicating this. If he doesn't allow an earned run in four innings.
You said what if they're not leading?
I don't know. You're the one who complicated it.
No, I
don't know what the question is now.
I added another avenue to it.
Bob?
I already did. I said he would be out of there. I don't care about his record, and I don't care about the Cincinnati Reds. I'm doing what's best for my player, and the fact that he could get – it's a rare thing to get a 1.99 ERA despite all the innings and on a last-place team. I'm taking him out. And
that's why
I'm
we giving, made Bob eight figures.
That's right. Yeah. More like nine.
That was well said, Bob, and I agree with every syllable you just
and
said.
And half syllable. You're supposed to say both now.
So limits.
Half syllables matter when you're talking about four and a half or three and two-thirds or anything. So,
so do quarter syllables, Bob. Limits, you're telling me that this guy allows no earned runs and his ERA dips below 199, and if Limits is managing the Pirates, let's call him Limits Kelly.
Yes.
You're putting him back out there. Now, what if he allows a homer and everything's ruined? Wouldn't you be
it's
ashamed?
It's Paul Skeens. I have confidence that he's not going to do that because he's the best pitcher in baseball. So if he can't go another one inning, three more outs to get, like let's say you have a 1-0 lead, to be able to get that 11th victory to be able to push him over the edge to not have a 500 record? Yeah, I'd be willing to go three more outs considering what he's shown all season long.
That's why we pay him two figures, Bob.
I don't understand. What am I missing in your argument there? What's the difference of 5 innings and 4 innings?
He wants Skeens to get the victory.
Again,
and if you go 5 innings, then you can earn the victory.
It's not like they're going to score
they
off
took
Hunter
out,
Green
they
anyway.
They took
it's
out Johan Oviedo last night after 4 2/3, and he was mad about it, but that's a different situation. But Paul Skeens does not need another win to validate what this has been, a Cy Young slam dunk season.
Remember when Hunter Green no-hit them on Easter and they still won the game 1-0?
Now, if you have exactly. How about if you have a no-hitter going and all this is...
What if he has a perfect game shutout?
Well, then you just keep going.
You do?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're abandoning that.
No, I'm not abandoning it. You said it's a difference between scoreless and perfect game.
What if he has a perfect game after 5?
Keep on keeping
6.
On. Keep on keeping on.
7.
Keep on keeping on.
I fully agree. He's a perfect game going? Yes. You let him go out there.
Keep on keeping on.
How often do you have a perfect game into the 7th inning?
Perfect game, 110 pitches after 7.
Well, that's a different situation.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you didn't say that. With the caveat of how many, I'm going to blow out his arm on the last game of the year.
So,
I'm not going to do
so
that.
So honest question then, what's the threshold on number of pitches?
100.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay.
But I don't know that he, again, 4 innings, he may only need 70 or 60.
That's
or
all
whatever.
Fair, Bob, and I respect you deeply. And I agree with you, actually. Are you nervous about your flight to Ireland today?
No. I just want to sleep. I want to sleep.
Do they still serve meals on long-distance flight, or all you get are those little cinnamon crackers?
It's not the way it used to be, I don't think. But, you know, whatever. If you're trying to sleep, I don't necessarily want to eat anything. I'll eat before then.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
Did flights actually used to be like Home Alone 2, where they had that big like 4-course meal that they served?
Oh,
yes.
We could take you back.
Seriously?
Joe and I will tell you what it was like.
Oh, yeah, you get dessert. You,
you get actual silverware, too.
You get prime rib and real silverware?
Yeah.
Do you remember when they took the salt shakers and they said, throw this in your purse, the uncle, the weird uncle?
Yeah, that's what you did. Now they take the little packet of cinnamon crackers and basically throw it in your face, and that's it, Bob.
I do like those crackers, though. So they're tasty.
I take those home, don't you, Limits?
I ask for an extra pack sometimes.
Known to ask my neighbor in the row. If you're not getting those, may I?
Wow, stranger in the row.
Yeah. I take those cinnamon crackers, Bob.
How about that? Hello, not my name is Joe Starkey. Can I please have your cinnamon crackers?
Absolutely. There's no shame when it comes to those.
But it was totally different back then. I mean, and not only that, I mean, the seats were bigger, it seemed. There was more ways to stretch out. Now everything's condensed.
How about the fact that people smoked? And the idea that if you're in row 11, you're in the smoking section, row 12, you're non-smoking in front of you blows smoke in your face. Remember that? Well, you don't limit.
I had one of the worst experiences flying to Hawaii.
What happened?
You're talking about blowing smoke. I'm talking about blowing out. This guy was sitting next to me. Yes. And I didn't know what to do. He was just and he knew it. He could have said something. I don't know if that would have changed anything, but I mean, air was just filled with that. Oh, it was the worst, and that's a long flight.
Bigger blowouts than the Aces Fever game last night. That's the last thing you need is a guy blowing out next to you on a long distance flight.
And I could tell that he thought because it wasn't audible, he had silencers going on, so he didn't want to take responsibility for it. And I think you always should. I'm very much aware of that. And I'm sorry.
Well, what do you mean? Do you admit it? You say, excuse me, listen, we both, obvious. You know and I
it's
know.
It's pretty obvious that there's somebody doing it.
I know, but do you announce it out loud? You know and
how
I know
if he
I'm
said,
having more blowouts.
How about if he said, I would know, to my neighbor or whatever, I'd say,
for your
excuse
neighbor.
Me. I got a gassy stomach. And if he does
I would never say that.
Okay, but somebody is a culprit here.
Yeah.
And then he may say to me, was that you? And knowing full well it was him. And I'm saying, no, it wasn't me. I know me. And I know when I'll do it, I'll admit it. That was yours. And then what does that turn into next?
That could turn into hostilities. Limits, have you had similar experiences on flights?
That could turn into the cinnamon crackers being thrown at you, not being thrown to you to be able to eat. Thankfully, no. I've not had that many poor experiences on flights. I've been fortunate. I also have only taken like 6 or 7 flights in my life.
Next.
All right.
So the PM guys had a really interesting topic at the start of their show yesterday, Bob. Pony brought it up. That Mike Tomlin has one of the greatest or the greatest record in one score games ever, and pointed out that he's 24-11 in one score games since Ben left. And Pony basically said that while he's still not a Tomlin fan, and I'm paraphrasing here, he's got to hand him that one. He's simply good in those one score games, and that is very significant. To which I would answer this. And he was looking for people to give him dissuading arguments. And I was sending Mulsey and Donnie Football the obvious opposing view to, this is just something you have to concede to Tomlin. He's great in close games. Look at their one score record since Ben. Okay, 24-11 in one score games since Ben left. That in and of itself looks very impressive. But he's only 6-11 in two score games. Why do one score games take precedent over two score games? And if you add the playoff games, he's 6-13 in two score games. And furthermore, and related to said topic, Mike Tomlin has a penchant for turning what should be two score wins into one score wins because he loves to play that mud fest football. So let me read you some of the quarterbacks that they've become mired in mud fests with on this allegedly impressive 24-11 record in one score game since Ben left. These are quarterbacks of those 24 one score wins that the Steelers have barely beaten since Ben left. Ancient Matt Ryan, Marcus Mariota, broken Andy Dalton, Derek Carr about 3 games before he quit, Tyler Huntley twice they turned into a one-score game. Deshaun Watson, bad Jimmy Garoppolo, bad and old Ryan Tannehill, Geno Smith, old and broken Kirk Cousins, Aiden O'Connell, if that's his name, and the Giants version of Daniel Jones. That's like 11 of those 24 wins that should have been way more comfortable. And Tomlin's on the record himself when he fired Matt Canada as saying, we got to engineer victory more fluidly. Yeah, you're damn right you do. Their overall record since Ben left is barely over 500, and they have a minus point differential. So why are we cherry picking a 24-11 record in one score games as if this is something you just have to concede? No, I don't, because there's other numbers that undermine it. Bob?
Well, I think both points are well taken. Number one, the idea is to win no matter how. And all those guys you mentioned were at different points of their careers for sure. But you still got to win those games. And yes, I do agree that a lot of those multiple, it should be multiple touchdown win games became one score games because of the method they choose to employ as this game went on.
Yes.
So instead of going for the jugular, they were going for the breaks. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that influences those numbers. I still think winning is the ultimate thing, and I'm never going to discredit a team or a coach for a win record during the regular season because ultimately that's what you're supposed to do, regardless of the talent you have.
Sure, and he's 40.
But I would say this: they've, you know, looking back at Mike's career, I think they've missed when you have a Ben Roethlisberger and a, you know, Killer Bees and all that lineup they had. They missed opportunities where they were in position to win, and for whatever reason, they didn't.
So I would come back to why accentuate 24-11 in one score games when I can come right back and say he's 6-13 in two score and more games. Why is the first one more revealing or more important than the second one?
That's talk radio, my man. That's a cute. Hey, listen, you could look at games differently that way. You know, like this past weekend, I think many people thought and felt uncomfortable with the fact that they won a game, and yet we've taken calls, people upset about it. It's about winning, yes, but I think when you dive deeper into it, you see the cause and effect. Why did you win? How did you win?
How does it translate to when you need to win big games? Thank you, Bob, for that.
And that's the thing that has to change. The bigger games,
right,
you got to win them, and you can't be losing the way they're losing.
Or winning the way they're winning is what I would argue, because the seeds for their postseason failures, if they get there, are planted even during these one-score wins when you're beating Tyler Huntley and the Ravens JV team twice by one score. That's a team that's probably going nowhere, that beats Marcus Mariota by one score, that beats broken Aiden O'Connell by one score. No relation to Neil O'Donnell, Bob. Next, and that leads me to this. And I want to see if I can articulate this because it's related. Ray Fittipaldo had a story today. How are the Steelers in first place? The guy who works with Colin Cowherd, that is a terrible 2-1 team. We keep wondering every year at different points in the season, how in the blank do the Steelers have a winning record? How are they in first place in the division? How are they 2-1 when they're getting outgained by 470 yards? This could be this year. It could be any other year. How did they reel off 6 of 9 at the end of this season to make the playoffs? How are they doing this when the analytics and the eye test tell you they're really average? And I would say this, that asking those questions and in some ways looking at it and admiring them for outperforming the analytics and the eye test, that's a compliment to Tomlin and the Steelers. But within that compliment are the seeds of worry and ultimate doom for these seasons. Because if you keep having to ask, how are they doing this? Because I don't think they're that good. Then ultimately you're going to get your answer because they're not that good. That's what. We asked these questions when they were 11-0.
Correct.
In 2020, and guess what? We were right. We've marveled at how they've outplayed the analytics.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The analytics tell us every year the long-run story. The analytics have been right. If the analytics are telling us this year and every other year that this is a team that really shouldn't win a playoff game, guess who's been right? The analytics.
The analytics, yes.
Do you know what I mean,
yes,
Bob?
Yes, sir. And it's about how. And when you watch it closely, you come to the realization that those trends do continue as you go through the season. In other words, you're not going to just snap your fingers and say, okay, we're going to be a highly productive offensive team as we go into the playoffs and score 35 when you haven't scored more than 17 all year. That's what you're referring to. The numbers say this team, based on what we've seen over the course of 17 games, cannot win if they have to play that way. It
right.
has to be, to use your word, a slogfest or whatever you called it. And that's what the analytics will tell you. So, but again, I put, you know, winning is still the ultimate thing for me. And during the regular season, you got to get to where you have to go. Winning is the way to do
and
it.
And how are they doing in the biggest games, winning?
Not well at all. And again, that goes back to your point. The analytics throughout the course of the season will tell you this.
Right.
Will tell you this is why odds makers look at those analytics and say, how did they win that game when they were outgained by as much as they were in, for example, the New England game? You know, theoretically, if you want to look at it, the Steelers could be 0-3.
Yeah,
you know,
and,
based
or,
on
yeah, or 3-0,
or that's how close they play it. And turnovers are still a big part of it. And I would debate those who say that it does matter. And if you make those plays, That was part of their game plan last week to force turnovers. Now,
yeah.
It never is good to see them watch 17 plays down the field knocking on the door, because now you limit your possibility of maybe making one of those big plays and they score. Is there an element of luck? Yeah, if you jar the ball loose, somebody's got to fall on it, and luck determines who it is. Just
right.
like Jonnu Smith fumbled and it went out of bounds. If that doesn't go out of bounds, they're going to go the other way, probably the way they were moving. So all of that matters, but I get what you're saying. The trends, and this is why if the Steelers would get in the playoffs, they'd be probably an underdog wherever and whoever they play.
And why I say that it's not really imaginable for me that they're going to make any kind of meaningful run. I hope to be proven wrong. But it's not just the deep analytics. It's also the simple eye test. They've been outgained by 470 yards. So, yes, it's a compliment to say, wow, in spite of that, they're 2-1. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, as I said, a seed of worry and a seed of long-range failure being forecast. If you have to keep admiring them for overcoming their apparent averageness, then maybe their apparent averageness is what's ultimately going to manifest. It always does, and why should we believe differently now? People say, I heard the morning show, well, people are comparing the Steelers to the last 7 or 8. Yeah, you're damn right we are. Show us something different, and we won't. This is more of the same. We're asking the same questions as always.
Again.
Sitting here again talking
about the same
things.
Yeah, that was well timed there, Limits. That was well timed because that's
what
it is.
You're spoiled, Bob. You're spoiled.
No, I think people do get spoiled after a while of expecting whatever they expect from a team, and that goes for all teams. But I think the reality is this is a team that has to prove that they can buck those trends and start doing the kinds of things. This is one of the reasons why they brought in Metcalf and Aaron
yeah.
Rodgers, because at least for this season, they thought those guys would make a big difference in their offensive production. So far it hasn't, but I think a lot of that has to do with offensive line, and we'll see how it goes from here on. But the trend is the same. You're right. When you have a minus 417-yard differential, that's not good. You know that, and I don't know what the point differential is. It's minus.
Yeah.
Well, you're 2-1 with a minus point differential. That in and of itself tells you a lot.
You've been favored in all three games. You should at least be 2-1. So maybe it does come together. Maybe there are encouraging signs with Jabril Peppers, with Derek Harmon, getting healthier defensively. And the schedule opened up a little bit. But until I see it, this feels like more of the same. Limits one more before we move ahead. Thank you. Very kindly. Bob, this involves one of our very own employees here, a man affectionately known as Malsy.
He won a golf tournament yesterday. Did you see that?
Yes, Josh Rountree, who works for the WPGA.
Right. Yeah. Western Pennsylvania Golf Association.
Sent me the official title of the tournament Malsy won. Yesterday, he was the overall winner of the 9th WPGA Net Championship, taking the Richard Falchetti, is that the name? Trophy at your club.
At Chartiers.
Malsy shot a 78 and won a tournament. It's basically for people who have handicaps, I think, over 4. Is that right, Bob?
I'm not sure of that, but yeah, it's, you know.
That's pretty impressive. He said net adjusted to 68.
Well, that's a Stableford system, I believe they play, which is you get points for pars and birdies. Bogeys, I think you take them away, and doubles are worse. So 78, and the thing about his round yesterday, as he explained it to me, and I applaud this because Chartiers is a hard golf course. I mean, I know the greens up there, they made it. It's a par 70, so that means you don't have par fives all over the place to try to make. He had 10 pars and 8 bogeys. No birdies, but no double bogeys. That's how you win in a Stableford system. And he did it, and he has a crystal glass trophy to show for it.
Our applause to Malsy, gentlemen. Here we go. Limits. Give him
great job, Malsy.
That is,
I'll tell
very
you what, he's taking his game, and I don't know if he works at it or not, but working on it probably means playing more because we don't have time to practice.
He does, right? Yeah.
Your game has taken off too.
My game stinks.
No, man. I mean, you don't give yourself enough credit for being a 3-year golfer.
Well, the only thing I can do, and I was thinking about this in my walk into the building today, I have reached the point where I can go out with good golfers and I'm not.
I've seen it.
I'm not out of place in terms of why is that blank blank going to look for his ball again? I can keep pace. I'm usually a shot behind. If like you're going to finish 15 to 18 shots ahead of me, which is fine. I'm going to get a 5. You're going to get a 4, but it's going to be consistent from hole to hole. And I can keep up in that way, like physically keep up. And I'm happy about that.
I tell you what, that's the ultimate thing. And for it to get better, you just got to play more and practice more. That's it. But I think I've watched you progress from never picking up a club, hating golf, to where you're now picking up all sorts of clubs and loving
still
golf.
Still hating golf. Yeah.
No,
it's a love-hate relationship, Bob.
Ryder Cup week. It's going to be fun.
Well, coming up next.
That's another part of the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Austin,
there's all kinds of things.
Yeah, all these games, and then you throw that in.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.